The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, go back in your Bible, please, and go to the book of Luke, chapter 12, and look at verse 48. I'll not move around this morning. I'll stay right here. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, and look at that, if you will, the latter portion. The Bible says, "For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be," "shall be much required." And it says, "And to whom men have committed much, of him have," or will they ask the more. Now, let me say this, if I may. God has given us a wonderful country. I would rather be in America than any other place under heaven. God has blessed our country. I have the privilege to travel a little bit overseas, and I travel to different countries, and though they're inner cities, perhaps try to stay up to a certain standard, and you'll see that they have so many things. It's up to date. When you go out into the provinces or when you go out to the outer part of the cities, it's not that way. But America has been blessed through and through. No matter where you go in America, you see God's blessings. You see God's hand of mercy. You see God's extended grace that comes with that blessing. Yet the Bible teaches here, "For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required." I believe that God requires much out of America because God has given America much. The Bible says, "To whom men have committed much," it says, "of him they will ask the more." And so we understand that there's been much asked from America because of the place that we have, because of the land that we dwell in, and because of those principles that we represent. The day that we call Memorial Day was really started on May the 30th, 1868. It was after the Civil War, and the mothers of those that lost their children decided that they wanted to go to the graves of those that died in the Civil War and to decorate the graves. Oftentimes, you'll see that they had services where they would take and exchange the flowers and give them to those that had sons that had perished in that Civil War. There's a title that I'm giving the message this morning that was known in the Korean War. Matter of fact, it was made popular by a veteran of the Korean War. It goes like this: "All gave some gave all." There was a man, a young man at that time, that came from Dent, Ohio. His name was Howard William Ostrakamp. Mr. Ostrakamp was an individual that served 1951 to 1953. It was during a heavy battle in Korea. He was in Company C, and the regiment that he represented was the Regimental Combat Team of the 5th Regiment. It was a horrible day. Many people were killed. He was shot in the leg, and he was severely damaged. He served in the boundary between North Korea and South Korea during that particular war. He got shot, and he went back to the medic camp, and then, of course, they shipped him over to the hospital, and they misdiagnosed him, and they sent him back to the front. They took the bullets out, and that was about it, but his leg had been broken in two places, and they sent him back to the front. He served for 4 months on the front with a broken leg, and he's the one that coined that phrase that we've heard all through down the years, how all gave some and some gave all. He's the one that coined that phrase. It was during the Korean War that the Soviet Union and also China backed North Korea and the United States backed South Korea. The war lasted until July 27 of 1953. It was started on June 25, 1950. It was during that course of time that there was 37,000 casualties. There was reported 512 those that died in South Korea that fought on the front. There was over 700,000 North Koreans that died. 1.2 million people died during that war. Now, I want to show you something this morning, and I'll use this handheld, if I may, for my comfortability's sake. But I want to show you something this morning that kind of rings true, if you will, about the way that you and I ought to view Memorial Day. And the way that you and I ought to view the way that we try to live for our Lord every single day of the week.
Let's take that phrase, if we could, the first part of it, how all gave some. Look in Numbers chapter 13, and we'll do a Bible study this morning. Numbers chapter 13, look at verse 3. The Bible says, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent, it says, them into the wilderness of Paran. The Bible says, all those men were heads of the children of Israel. You'll see the heads of the children of Israel, those men that were listed there in Numbers chapter 13, verses 4 through 16. You'll see that God chose the different heads of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, and sent them over into what we would call, and is named by the scriptures, the promised land. The Bible says that they went over. Now, by the way, all of them gave some. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 17, you'll see that Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. The Bible says that they went up into the mountain in verse 17. Verse 18, the Bible says they went up into the mountain. It says to see the land, where's the people to dwell, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. The Bible says in verse 19, whether to find out if it was a good land or a bad land, whether they dwelt in tents or strongholds. In verse 20, you'll see they wanted to spy out the land. And so Moses sent them to find out if the land was fat or lean, if those that dwelt there would dwell, and there would be much wood in the land to build those strongholds or to build those solid houses. They went to view the fruit of the land. They went at the time when there was the first fruits, if you will, or the time of the bearing of grapes. And so they went over there during that time. In verse 25, you'll see they returned. They were there for 40 days, and then they returned. In verse 26, you see this, that they reported not just to Moses, not just to Aaron, but in verse 26 of Numbers 13, they reported to all the children of Israel. In verse 27, you'll see first they give a good report. They say that as they went to dwell in the land for those 40 days, that they saw some wonderful things. Verse 27, Numbers 13, you'll see that talks about that it's a land that floweth with milk and honey. They talk about the fruit thereof. And then you see something else in verse 28. They say this, nevertheless, the Bible says, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. All right, so first they come back and they give a good report. Oh, just look how God has blessed that place. I mean, they've got grapes. And by the way, it was the time of the bearing of the grapes. And they were large clusters of grapes, so much that they had to put a stave between the shoulder of one and the shoulder of another. And they would have to take, and on that stave, they'd have to take and put those clusters of grapes that were so heavy and so bountiful to bring them back between the shoulders of two men. But yet, then, they give not a good report. In other words, they see that it's a wonderful land. They see it's a beautiful land. They see that God has blessed the land. They see that this would be a wonderful place for the family to dwell. They see it's a wooded area. They see that the streams are beautiful. They see that the growth of that which is vegetarian growth and that which is fruitful growth is already there. And they see how wonderful God has blessed the land. By the way, may I say this to testify one more time, God has blessed America. Boy, I thank God for America, and God has blessed us. But you'll see here that these 12 were chosen to be able to go over. They come back, and 10 of the 12 give an ill report. And by the way, you notice that there's 10 of the 12 that give the ill report, and the two others, Joshua, if you will please, and Caleb, are holding their tongue. And by the way, doesn't it say that in the Bible, that a wise man holdeth his tongue to the very end? And so they held their tongue. They didn't say anything whatsoever to begin with. They just let these men be able to talk. And these men, rightfully so, they gave a good report to begin with. They really did. They talked about the fruit. They talked about the plentifulness of the land. And by the way, when you visit America, I have many, many friends that come from overseas, and they visit America. They hear about America. They hear about the land of the free, the home of the brave. They visit America, and it's just what they heard. They see the plentifulness of God's good pleasure. They see the plentifulness of God's good blessing. But then all of a sudden, they start to get around some people that don't think America is so hot. They get around people that don't think that America ought to be the place the way it was established as a Christian nation. And so they get around different ones, and the liberal crowd rises up and tries to slap it down, and tries to dishonor the flag, and tries to take and destroy the Bible, and tries to get us to believe that this is not a place that God has blessed. But can I tell you, this is a place that God has blessed. But here you see that the Amalekites are involved. Look at verse 29, chapter 13, the book of Numbers. The Bible says, and the Amalekites, it says, that dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and they're all dwelling in that land. And then in the mountains, you see different ones that are dwelling. And in the base of the land, you've got, of course, the Canaanites that was there down by the sea and over by the coast of Jordan. And so the land is filled with these people. And here's what they say about these people. They said that these people, as you'll read here in just a moment, that these people were likened unto giants. I mean, they were just great in their stature. Oh, and there's many of them. Matter of fact, they said that they're like grasshoppers all over the place. I mean, there's just so many of them, you can't begin to even count them. Now, can I say this to you this morning? Sometimes the opposition that you have in your life might seem great. Sometimes it might seem that there's problems inside of your life and you just don't know what to do. I mean, you feel like that your back is against the wall and you're pushed into a corner and you just don't know what to do. But can I tell you, God is still real. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, maybe, just maybe, that when you feel like you're pressed in a corner and you just can't get out, it might be a good time to look to God and ask God to help. Here we see that all gave some. These were good men, by the way. I'll tell you how I know they were good men, because they were the ones that were appointed as tribal leaders. These were the ones that people looked up to. These were the ones that people would stand at afar back and just admire them from a distance. But can I tell you, it does not matter who a person is. As I said last Sunday, if you were here Sunday morning where we talked about that faith, you can move from one level or element of faith very quickly in your life. I've seen people that are strong in the Lord all of a sudden become weak, and I've seen people that are weak in the Lord and they all of a sudden become strong. Why? Because of the walk that they have with God. This was a weak time in these fellows' lives, and all of a sudden, here's what you see. All 12 of them go in. All 12 of them spy out the land. All 12 of them see the blessings of God. All 12 of them see that there is mighty giants in the land. But then you also see this, that 10 gave an ill report. They came back and said, it can't be done. But can I tell you, you ought to have faith in God that God can do what God wants to do. You ought to decide that God be true and every man a liar. You ought to decide that God can answer prayer. You ought to decide that God can change a country. And by the way, if there's a country that needs to be changed today, underneath the pitch of our voice, it is America today. America has changed over the past couple years dramatically, where they've turned from God, and they've turned to their selfish ways, and they've turned to worshiping the creator, the creature rather than the creator. And it ought not to be that way. God did not create us that way. I'm saying that all gave some. But then you see this. You see that some gave all. Look in your Bible, Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. The Bible says, now all of a sudden these fellows speak up, and Caleb is the first one to speak. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Now, by the way, he saw the same giants. He saw the same type of opposition as the other 10 did, but that didn't stop him. He said, let us go up at once and possess it. He didn't say, let us go up and go on vacation. He didn't say, let us go up and rest a while. He didn't say, let's go up and fast and pray in the mountain. He didn't say, let's just go up and watch them and get a game. Oh, he said, no. He said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, why did he say that? Because he knew the God of Israel is the same God, and he's not changed. And the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to submit to you, the same God that answered prayer in the Old Testament, the same God that answered prayer in the New Testament, is the same God that answers prayer today. The same God that should be put up, if you will, please, as being the one that we follow in the olden days, ought to be the one that we follow today. Here's what we see. He said, let's go up. He said, at once, let's go up. Let's possess it, and we're able to overcome it. But watch this in verse 31. But the men, now here's the men. But the men that went up with him, with who? With Caleb. Said, but we be not able. So there are those that say we're able, and there are those that say we be not able. We're just not able. By the way, that's the way it is in your house. That's the way it is at your business. Boy, we need some men that will rise up today and say, yes, God is able. Yes, God is able. And if there's a time in America where we need to bring God back into the country and to honor God and to be able to say the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. I don't care what you think about President Trump, but I sure am glad that he made those fellows in the NFL feel the pressure a little bit so that now those that are over them are saying, hey, you need to stand or you're going to pay a penalty. I think we ought to stand. I think we ought to take and give honor to whom honor is due. And our country deserves honor. I'm saying this morning. It says, but the men that went up with him, the Bible says, they said this, that we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. But what about God? Your cancer is stronger than you are, but what about God? Your dysfunctional heart is stronger than you are, but what about God? Your marriage that's not doing so well right now, and you've tried everything under heaven to make it right, but what about God? You've got a child that's rebellious and a child that doesn't want to do right, but can I submit to you this morning, dear friend, what about God? The Bible says in verse 32, the Bible says, and they brought up an evil report of the, well, how in the world could they do that? They've seen God fight battle after battle and win. They've seen God give victory after victory. How is it that they would forget the Lord their God in such a short time? How is it that America could forget the God of America in such a short time? The Bible says in the latter part of that verse, verse 32, Numbers 13, the Bible says, and all the people watch what it says, we saw in it are men of great stature. Look at verse 33. The Bible says, and there we saw giants. Look at the latter portion. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So they saw many of them, but then comparatively speaking, they looked at themselves as grasshoppers. The Bible says so that we were in their sight. So we are small, they are great. We are few, they are many. We can't overcome them, but the Bible teaches you can overcome those that oppose you. Look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, and all the congregation, it says, lifted up their voice, now watch it now, and cried, and the people wept that night. You know why? Because some people got up and said, we can't do it. God's dead. Boy, we just can't do it. Might as well just give up. The ship is sinking. But what about God that can make the ship not sink? What about God that could do a miracle in your marriage? What about God that could do a miracle in your business? What about God? What about God? What about God that could take some that give all and bless those that give their very all so that they could have a right type of family life? The Bible says here that they all wept. Look at verse 2. We're in Numbers 14 now. The Bible says, and all the people of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we would have died in the land of Egypt, and would God we would have died in this wilderness. Now, wait a minute. They're saying, it's over. We came all this way for nothing. We came all this way for nothing. We just might as well just give it up, just kind of throw in the towel. I know my son is 16, 17, 18, 19, and now he's having trouble in his life and trying to live for God. Well, we might as well just give it up. Might as well just throw in the towel. Oh, I know we've been married for 30 plus years, but it's not like it used to be. And so we might as well just give it up. Might as well just throw it in. Oh, I know that they say that you can't have the Bible and you in the public school and you're not supposed to pray unless there's an emergency. Might as well just give it up. Might as well just throw it in. I submit to you this morning, you ought not to give it up. I submit to you this morning, you ought not to throw it in. I submit to you this morning that somebody ought to rise up and somebody ought to decide that God is true and that God deserves to be honored and that God is the one that deserves to be put first place in your family and in your community and in your church and in your personal life. I submit to you this morning, it's about time that Christians rise up and just decide that if you're going to be those few, only some gave all, could that not be you? Could that not be me? The Bible says in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 3, or verse 2 rather, the Bible says, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Well, they're saying, well, I wish God would have never delivered me. Wish God would have never brought me out. I don't know about you, but I'd like to testify. I'm so glad God brought me out. I'm so glad there was a day I became born again. I'm so glad there was a day when I was introduced to the blessed Savior of the world. I'm so glad there was a day when I received Christ as my Savior. I don't know what my life would have been without Christ. I don't know where I would have gone without Christ. I don't know who I would have married without Christ. I don't know what type of children we would ever had without Christ. I don't know if I ever would have served God without Christ. I'm saying this morning. I'm saying all gave some gave all. It was JFK that said this, John F. Kennedy. He said, let every nation know that whether it wishes us well or ill, that we'll pay the price, bear the burden, meet the hardships, support the friend, oppose the foe. And we will survive because we believe that liberty is only found in our survival. John chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, a greater love hath no man than this, than that a man laid down his life for his friends. By the way, Memorial Day, remembering those that laid down their lives. In the Civil War, there was 365,000 Northern soldiers that was killed. In the Civil War, there was 133,000 Southern soldiers that was killed. In the First World War, there was 116,000 American soldiers that was killed. In World War II, there was 407,000 American soldiers that were killed. In the Korean War, there was, at the beginning of the count, I read the latter earlier, but at the very beginning, in the very first year, 54,000 died. In Vietnam, 58,000 died. In the Gulf War, there was recorded over 400 that died. In Iraq, 4,486 that died. Afghanistan, 2,345 that died. Over 1 million soldiers was wounded during the last three wars that I mentioned. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you that there was some that gave all, some that laid down their lives for you and I? My daddy fought in the war. He fought in the Korean War. And my daddy, if I talked to my daddy about this, he would never want to talk about it. I asked him one day, I said, Daddy, did you ever have to kill someone? He said, Mike, I don't want to talk about it. It's memories I like to put under. I don't want to bring them up. But did you know all the days of his life, he lived with those memories. Now, can I tell you, some gave all. Some gave all. Years ago, Ted Turner, he's the one that's the founder of CNN, and he became quite bitter. By the way, he was saved at an early age and surrendered to be a missionary. I said saved and surrendered to be a missionary. Then all of a sudden, his sister died. When his sister died, he became very bitter towards God. And ever since, he's put out nothing but anti-Christian stuff ever since. Why? Because of that heart right there. Because of that heart right there. Can I tell you? You have to decide how you are in your mind and in your heart. Oh, come on now. You know how it is, don't you? Some people come to church, they cannot wait. Woo! They cannot wait. Ooh, they can't wait. Boy, they can't wait to shake somebody's hand. They can't wait to sing the songs. They can't wait to hear the choir. They can't wait to hear the specials. Oh, they can't wait to put money in the offering plate. Oh, they can't wait. They can't wait to be able to see their friends and their family members. They can't wait to see how they can serve God. Oh, they just can't wait. They're just so excited on the inside. It bubbles on the outside. But there's some that come to church and they're not excited about nothing. I'm not saying you have to swing on a pendulum every time you come to church, but I am saying this. I am saying you ought to consider what God has for you. I'm saying all gave some gave all. There are those that are still remembered because of what they gave. Let me read it to you, if I may, and I'm done. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 6, the Bible says, talking about Joshua and Caleb here, how all of a sudden, how they heard the evil report, and they ripped their clothes. They rent their garments. In verse 7, Numbers chapter 14, you'll see this, that they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel that was in the land. And they said that we have passed through and we searched it out and it was exceeding good land. And so what are they doing? They're agreeing with the 10. And verse 8, the Bible says, and if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land and give it us a land that flows with milk and honey. They're saying, hey, God can do this. God can, by the way, somebody asked me, I was preaching somewhere, and an older man of God came up to me, and he said, now, you really believe what you just preached? I said, well, of course, so I preached it. And he said, well, no, come on now, preacher. You don't really believe that God could bring America back to him through revival. Now, do you? Do you really believe that? Come on now, preacher. You're younger than I am, the older preacher said to me. He said, you're younger than I am. Do you really believe that God could bring revival to America again? I said, I absolutely 100% believe that. By the way, I attest to the fact that I see that God's working in many lives across America today. I think we have more Christians that's in political positions, I think, than what I've ever seen in my life. I think God is stirring. I think that things are happening. Oh, you said, but preacher, it's bad. Oh, yeah. But where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8 says, if the Lord would delight in us, he will bring us into the land and he will give it up. Now watch this, the land that floweth milk and honey. The Bible says, but watch this in verse 9 as they give a stern warning. He says, as they speak to these people that are standing before them, it says, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. They, it says, are bread for us. All right, watch it in verse 10. The Bible says, and all the congregation bade, it says, stone them with stones. They were not happy because there are those that say, hey, God can. By the way, you might find that in your house. You might be saying in your house where people are not saved, you might be saying, God can. I said, God can. And you got people in your own household says, what are you talking about? Why are you talking about God so much? Listen to it in verse 11. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? All right, wait a minute. And so how long will it be ere? How long are they going to err? How long are they not going to believe me? Look at verse 12. The Bible says, I smite them with a pestilence. Now, the Bible talks about how there's a disinheritance there. And they're not going to be that great nation. But by the way, can I tell you that they will be the great nation, that we can be that great nation, that we can stand up and do what is right. Watch this, and I'm done. Look at verse 38, Numbers 14, verse 38. The Bible says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and it talks about Caleb. The Bible says, were of the men that went to search out the land, to watch this, liveth still. May I remind you, please, the words of George Washington still live on, where he said, while just government protects all of their religious rights. True religion affords to government its, listen to it now, surest support. The words still live. Thomas Jefferson said this, the reason that Christianity is the best friend to government is because Christianity is the only religion that changes the heart. Words still live. John Adams said this, the highest glory in the American Revolution was this. It connected those that were bound to the principles of civil government to that which is the principles of Christianity. Benjamin Franklin says this, God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire cannot raise without his aid. Can I tell you that it's important that we understand that as we live for God, you know, it's something. Yesterday I was out and I was door knocking and talking to people. I had to stop by a mechanic shop and I stopped by the mechanic shop to get a vehicle. And as I was in the mechanic shop and I was talking to this man, I said, let me ask you a question. If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Oh, he gave me an experience and told me about what happened years ago as a tragedy had hit his life. And I said, okay, so if I was your friend and I wanted to go to heaven, just a simple little statement from you would do, but if I was your friend and I wanted to go to heaven, what would you tell me to do? He said, well, you need to live it. And I said, okay, anything else? And he started shooting out some different things. I said, well, let me show you. I just want to make sure you're on the same page with God. Because you see, if what you're believing doesn't line up with what God says, I think you're probably in trouble. But if it lines up to what God says, then you're probably okay. So let's just go and see what God says. You want to? And so, man, I searched for my New Testament, and Brother Bontegal had stolen it, and it was in the back of his car. And I'm kidding, but I left it there, and I had to shoot over there by myself. And so I pulled out a gospel track, and when I pulled out that gospel track, I opened it up, and we stood there in the framework of his body shop, and we talked there for a while, and I said, now, if Christ would be willing to receive you, would you like to receive Christ as Savior? Oh, he said, I sure would. And then I led him to Christ. He got saved. Then after he got saved, I thought, well, you know, that's good. Praise the Lord. I gave him assurance of salvation. That's good. And so I went back to talking about the car. He didn't want to talk about the truck. He didn't want to. He wanted to talk more about Christ. Then the guy next door, he popped over and he said, hey, he said, I've been a Christian a long time. He said, matter of fact, I think that was pretty neat. And I guess he was sneak peeking. I don't know. But he was saved. Now, can I tell you, listen, God can work in people's lives. Can I, look, I believe that we're in a wonderful place. You know, God has given us a wonderful area to be able to have a church. I mean, all the interstates come in here. People that come to our church, they drive in from Sachse, and they drive in from Plano, and they drive in from Richardson, and they drive in from all over Dallas and Wiley and places like that, and they come to church here. Then you go the other direction. You go out to where I live, out in the Forney area, and you get past that, and you got people that drive in from all over, out in that direction, from Terrell, and so many places that come in. People that live on farms, and my son's one of them, by the way. Yeah, Jared and Debbie now have a farm. They got chickens. They just got goats. They got all sorts of stuff. So if you want goat's milk, go see them. They'll sell it to you. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we're in a very good place. We're in a very good place to be able to reach the metro. We're in a very good place to be able to help people. But we've got to believe that God can. I mean, we've got to get it inside of us that, yes, God can use you. I'm saying you. God can use you. How you can have an influence and help somebody and love somebody and be able to reach somebody with the gospel. Oh, God could use you too. Now, I'm saying that here we see in our scriptures, we see that all gave some. We see that some gave all. And we see that those that gave all, they just kind of live on. Because somebody will remember them. In our scriptures, names are recorded. But somebody's recording your name today, perhaps in a journal. Maybe somebody's recording your name today as they testify. Wouldn't it be good for your kids to be able to testify how you started living for God? Wouldn't it be good for your grandkids to be able to testify, or your great-grandkids, how you live for God? And because you live for God, God has blessed in their lives, because they too have a testimony to follow. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.